Support for TPR comes from UT San Antonio, offering degree programs and research focused on workforce development, student success, and health innovation across Texas. UTSA.edu. UT San Antonio, the University of Ambition.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Artificial intelligence is now at the center of America's economic future and its national security. But the White House is warning that China-linked actors may be trying to extract capabilities from some of the most advanced U.S. AI systems. The concern is that foreign competitors could use American-built models to accelerate their own technology without making the same level of investment. But Randy Landrieu says the danger is not just coming from overseas. He argues that the United States has weakened its own innovation system by making it harder for independent inventors and startups to compete while concentrating more technological power into hands of a few dominant companies. Landrieu is the president of U.S. Inventor and a patent inventor himself. He says the fight over artificial intelligence, patents, and competition is becoming a national security issue, and that America could lose its technological edge if it does not rebuild a system that protects and rewards new ideas. Randy Landrieu joins us now, and Randy, welcome to The Source.
Well, thank you for having me. Good to be here.
So sizing up what's happening between the United States and China in the race to super AI, it's the United States still has the edge, but that edge seems to be closing. The gap seems to be closing, that China is catching up. And you're saying this is partly caused by weak patent law in the United States. So explain that to me.
Yeah, in fact, obviously, everybody's got their attention on AI, but there's a think tank called the Critical Technologies Tracker that basically, through a lot of research, claims that China is threatening to take the lead in almost every important new technology of the future. Almost every single one, China is threatening to take the lead in, and AI is just one of them. What we face in America, if you think back historically, America has been the place where real innovation occurs. We have led the world in innovation for over 100 years. And there's a reason for that. It's not just that we have some kind of, it's not the water we drink or something. It's that way back at the beginning of our country, all the way back in 1790, our founders did something very radical, which was, rather than having systems where if you're a friend of the king or if you were, in the elite, you could be an inventor or have rights to something, exclusive rights. What our founders said was, you know what, we're going to say that whoever you are in America, rich, poor, land, no land, man, woman, whatever, if you invent something that's never been done before and it's valuable, you can own it for a limited period of time. And that created this huge incentive for the common person to innovate. And it helped America, and it worked beautifully for a couple hundred years. That, by the way, that was the Patent Act of 1790 under George Washington. So America suddenly became a world power more quickly than you would have thought. This was the place of innovation. And the thought that some other country would be ahead of us in some area, some innovative area, was just kind of absurd. But now look at what we're facing now. It's no longer absurd. And it's because of what large corporations did politically through political efforts to our patent system a little over 10 years ago. And what it really boils down to is a very bad piece of legislation. A patent bill was passed in 2011 called the America Invents Act. It was pushed by big tech and a few other giant corporations. And what I would say is they were looking for a way to get rid of future competition. And what this bill did was it suddenly made a radical change in patent rights, especially for the little guy. What it basically did was, prior to that, you would face off with your infringer in a real court with a jury trial. That's the Seventh Amendment, with a real judge with due process. And it was fair. And if you should win, you would win. Right. And But what that law did was it created this new administrative court, an administrative court where there's no jury, where there's no real judge, where I wouldn't say it's got due process. They've got some level of due process, but not really. And about 80% of the time, the patent in question gets invalidated. And these are only the most valuable patents there are that go to it. So what happens is a little guy, assuming they can even afford it, because by the way, the other side of it was when it was fair, you could do a case on contingency where, you know, the attorney shares in the winnings. So you don't have to be rich to fight a case, because most inventors are very poor when they start. And when, you know, I mean, look, Steve Jobs and Bill Gates didn't have a lot of money when they began. So what this really boils down to is access to justice for the little guy, the source, the person, the entity that has been the source of real innovation historically in this country of ours. And when you don't have that group of individuals being incentivized and being given the power to really innovate, suddenly then you have a handful of big corporations that control everything. And that's a serious problem for everybody. And also, every real innovation is held back, and other countries start getting ahead of us. And that's what we're running into right now as we speak.
So last week, President Trump was in China. Typically, the president of the U.S. is trying to defend, trying to tell China to stop stealing our intellectual property. Did that happen again?
Yeah, you know, China has always found ways to acquire our intellectual property nefariously, right? But I don't know how to stop that. I would tell you this, though. By having a weak patent system, you now have legal ways to take our technologies. For instance, back to this administrative court I mentioned, where you know, if you're accused of infringement, you simply use this administrative court to invalidate the patent at about an 80% rate. And Chinese companies like Huawei and a number of Chinese companies, you know, connected to the CCP, have used that administrative court, you know, a few hundred times to legally take out the patents of Americans. So again, we've totally shot ourselves in the foot by weakening the rights of the little guy and gal to defend their patent rights, to stop the infringement and the theft of what they've invented. By the way, I want to say one more thing. When your patent rights are weak, it's hard to raise money for a startup. So again, this is another issue. Why don't we have innovative startups competing with big tech right now? Like, I mean, certainly there are a few, but why isn't that a serious thing out there? Well, the reason is because it's very hard for an innovative startup that should be able to compete with big tech to get the funding they need to do so. Because investors look at this thing and they say, wait a minute, what if these patents get challenged? Are we going to lose everything? Like, that's the primary asset of this startup. How can I take the risk to invest in it? So suddenly, you know, you can't invest in it. The startup never gets going. All these American startups that would be competing and keeping us ahead of China and keeping us, you know, safe, they don't get formed. And so, again, it is a real fight between the little guys and the huge corporations that have so much political power.
So many experts and tech advocates are saying that this issue that we have with the new U.S. patent system, it's undermining American competitiveness, specifically when it comes to AI, because U.S. courts and the U.S. Patent Office, they've increasingly tightened rules around what constitutes a patentable AI invention. Often rejecting software and algorithm innovations, and then that allows those innovations to be taken up in Europe and China.
Yeah, there was the bad law that I just described, the American Invents Act, which made it easy to invalidate patents, but there have also been a couple of bad Supreme Court decisions that have hurt as well. one particular Supreme Court decision, it was referred to as the Alice decision. And bottom line is there are many, many important inventions in tech areas, software-related type areas. And of course, when you look at new technology, it very often has a software component to it. And these types of inventions have been much harder now as a result of that Supreme Court decision to get a patent on. But if you get a patent, they're much easier to invalidate than they should be if someone is accused of infringing the patent. And there was a study done a few years back. I believe it's George Mason University did the study. They found 1,700 patents in key technology areas that had not been allowed in the United States because of these new rules, but had been allowed in China and in Europe. And so then we're giving this advantage to other countries and just giving it away. It's really crazy. And the real solution, and by the way, when you talk about things like artificial intelligence, it's a real negative when you have a handful of corporations controlling everything and then they don't have competition. The real key to real innovation is a lot of small entities as in the mix competing with the best innovation that can be thought up, which typically comes from the little guys.
We're taking a break here. We're going to continue our conversation with Randy Landrino. He is the president of U.S. Inventor. You can call in with the questions or comments you have about patents and AI and the competition with China. 833-877-8255. 833-TPR-TALK. The Source continues right after this.
Support for the Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at uthealthsa.org.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about patents, how to protect them, why they're important, how they can create this atmosphere of innovation that can create wealth in the United States and also lead to some really cool things. Talking with Randy Landrino. He is president of U.S. Inventor, a patent inventor himself. You can call in with the questions and comments about 833-877-8255. So Randy, Chinese entities file nearly 70% of all AI patents worldwide. They produce a substantially higher volume of research publication citations. That's happening. But also, when you look at these patents, many of these patents we're getting from China are considered junk, and they don't really hold up to the standards in the United States. But are they trying to just flood the system? What is the strategy here?
Yeah, well, sure. That is definitely the case. They're trying to flood the system. But it's also a fact that, you know, large corporations tend to operate in that way as well. And the real key is, what about the real thinking outside of the box innovation? That is what we need to really be incentivizing. And again, back to what we're talking about prior to the break, we need startups. We need American innovative startups like we used to have before the system was destroyed. We need to bring back the system we had, which is what U.S. Inventor, by the way, that's usinventor.org. That's what we're fighting for. We're a national advocacy group really fighting to restore these rights. It's really your birthright as an American to be able to come up with something valuable, to get a patent on it, and to do something great with it, and pursue the American dream. This has been a key part of the American dream for a few hundred years. And by the way, for your viewers, since you're in Texas, I'd like to give you a quick example of a Texan and a Texas inventor who did something great and what happened to him because the system is broken. His name is David Furry. David Furry, first of all, let me give you a little background. In Texas, you know, obviously you have a lot of oil refineries and pipelines and distilleries and all that. You can have these pinhole leaks in pipelines and wherever you have this kind of stuff going on. a toxic gas leak coming out of, say, a pipeline that you can't see with the naked eye. What David Furry, and of course there was a technology for finding those leaks, but it didn't work very well. It took too long, it just didn't do a good job of it. You had all these toxic gas leaks. David Furry invented a type of a camera. You point that camera at that pipeline, and you can spot these leaks look like plumes of dark smoke, you know, through this camera. You can fly a helicopter along a pipeline and spot these leaks and fix them. He got it patented, and the Texas EPA gave him their highest award, and they said that invention lowered the level of ethylene, a cancer-causing toxic element, lowered the level of ethylene in the air in Houston by 60%. I mean, look, this is what you want inventors for. They're thinking outside of the box. They're solving problems. In David's case, he should be rich and famous based on this. But no, a big company that was going to, you know, they worked with him. They were going to license it from him. But then they got all the information. They used this new administrative court, this unjust administrative court, to invalidate his patent. And they took it all and left. And he got nothing. And I have numerous examples of that. I bring that one up because it's a good Texas example. But it doesn't matter the type of invention. It could be, I have a examples in athletic gear and toys and anything that's really valuable. If it's valuable, there's someone out there, unfortunately, because the system's weak, there are, you know, increasing numbers of companies that are willing to just take it. But it's your birthright as an American to come up with something valuable and to own it for a limited period of time. And that's what made America so great when it came to innovation and what we must bring back.
So how does this impact the day-to-day consumer?
Well, here's the thing. As a consumer, you benefit greatly when you have many competitors out there wanting to provide you with something, right? If there's only one company providing with something, the quality is going to be lower than it should be. The price is going to be higher than it should be. Whether what you want is even available is going to be a big question. Whereas if you have a lot of competitors, you have a better supply at a lower price, and you have better characteristics, and you know, your needs are provided much better by competition. And that's, we've known that it's been a key part of America and of capitalism. And but on top of that, you know, when you start looking at, you know, competing with like adversaries, if your adversaries are getting ahead of you technologically in all the key areas, before long, it's an existential threat to you militarily and otherwise. Well, that affects you as a consumer as well. If you got to worry about China being ahead of you in every possible way, that's a big problem. And the real key is again, it's very simply undoing what was done when we basically shot ourselves in the foot and allowed, honestly, our lawmakers on both sides of the political aisle, they were lobbied heavily. The propaganda was really well designed, as it always is. And at the time, 2011, U.S. Inventor wasn't there to counter it. I was fighting it, but we didn't have enough behind us. We now do. I say that it's still a huge fight, but we have tens of thousands of individuals across the country who are part of this effort, who are like, if we need your lawmaker called, you know, if we need phone calls and emails sent on a key issue, we can get it done in a big way. And we've been able to stop every bad bill since 2011, but getting a good bill passed is much harder. And I would say to all of your listeners, you never know when you might come up with something truly valuable that no one's thought of. A good example is any of your listeners who have kids, this toy called Bunch of Balloons. By the way, Dave, do you know this toy, Bunch of Balloons?
No.
So it is a you basically can make about 40 water balloons at a time. Okay. So it used to be, as I was growing up, if you wanted a water balloon, you made them one at a time, and it took forever. An interesting fellow who had 8 kids had to come up with a faster way to make water balloons when they had water balloon fights. He came up with this toy. It's called Bunch of Balloons. You hook it up to a hose. It has all these tubes. All these balloons fill up. You shake it, and they all fall off sealed. You can do like 100 a minute. And the thing is, it went viral. because this was something that wasn't out there, that people who have water balloon fights really liked, and it's now the top-selling outdoor toy in the world. But here's the thing. Because the system is broken, the fight that this inventor went through when he tried to stop a big infringer who basically stole it, actually bought one from his Kickstarter campaign, shot a commercial with it, and started flooding the market with cheap Chinese knockoffs of his product. He took him to court, and instead of it being a simple, easy case that should have ended quickly, it turned into a five-year-long battle that took $20 million. And, of course, luckily, he was able to he did everything right and was able to get the investors and everybody else to stand behind him and fight this fight. But most inventors no inventor is in a position, hardly any inventor ever is in a position to fight a fight like that, which is why the system has to be set up so that the little guy can access justice. And that's really what this is about. It's about access to justice for the little guy. And we fully intend to win this battle, but it is basically usinventor.org versus big tech. Now think about that. but yet we're making inroads. And all of your members, anybody listening, can be a part of this fight simply by going to usinventor.org and signing our inventor rights resolution. That helps us show our lawmakers across the country that this matters to their constituents.
So do you think the problems that you bring up and these issues that you're telling us about, do you think this is the result of this growing cronyism, oligarchy that we have in the United States, that we're not thinking about the little guy, they're just thinking about the fat cats?
But it's been going on for some time, right? I mean, like the bill we're talking about got passed in 2011. So we're talking about, almost 25 years ago. There is this tendency for the big corporations. They have enough money and they can hire people to lobby and they can donate a lot of money. Money is way too powerful in lawmaking, no question about it. And so you've always got to have advocacy groups that are fighting for the little guy who are able to effectively do so. But that's tough to do because how do you pay for it, you know? That's a problem. And I got to tell you, behind all of this and maybe many of the problems we face is the fact that money is too powerful in Washington, D.C. Shouldn't be the case, you know?
So a new law to fix this?
Yeah, well, there are two bills that we are fully behind. One is called the Balancing Incentives Act. Marcy Kaptur is the Democratic lead on it. Thomas Massey is the Republican lead. And what it does is it makes it so that you as a patent holder would have to consent to being taken to that administrative court. If you didn't consent, you'd have your day in an actual court with a jury. And so that would fix the problem for us. It's called the Balancing Incentives Act. Very simple bill. The other bill is called the RALIA, Restoring America's Leadership and Innovation Act. That's Thomas Massey's the lead, Marcy Kaptur is the co-lead. And that would fix everything. It would get rid of this administrative court, and there are a number of issues it would totally fix, which makes it pretty ambitious, but it would do everything. And we're fully behind both of these bills and working hard to get them passed as we speak.
Well, Thomas Massey, he just lost his primary, so he's got a little bit of time left in Congress. We'll see if we can get that done before his time runs out there. Randy Landrenew, thank you so much. President of usinventor.org, patent inventor himself. Thanks for coming on board today.
Well, thank you for having me. And all you out there listening, join us. Sign our inventor rights resolution and help. And I appreciate your help. Thank you.
That's The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for listening.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies. Tim Gutierrez is the show's producer. Additional production support from Steve Short, Ruben Garcia, Yvette Benavides, and Dan Katz, Vice President of News. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation. Support for TPR comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' compensation provider committed to helping Texas communities and emphasizing safety. More at texasmutual.com/texansgetit.